any other comments or questions for Leanne on that, or others will move to Gráinne? Okay, thank you, Leanne.
Okay, I'm going to get you to do some work. I'm determined to get you to get some activities. I've got absolutely none from yesterday, but I'm going to get you to do some if it kills me. And there is a purpose for this, because what we want to do is then lead on to talking about Martin's point more generally about how we really utilise the Web 2 and get shareability, etc., which I think relates a lot to the kind of things we've been talking about over the last 2 days. So what I'd like you each to do is get a piece of paper, and you've got those lovely little books that we got yesterday, the little black books. I can't find my copy yet. And just on a piece of paper, think of a learning and teaching activity that you like. Okay? So the title for it, a very brief description, and if you're not the author, put the name of the author. Literally just a paragraph. Okay? Any learning and teaching activity, one that you might have done, creation yourself, or one you've been to that you really liked. Okay? And I want one from everybody, otherwise you can't leave. You need a bit of paper. Anybody need some paper? I feel like a singer. Karaoke. Da, 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 da. You could do more than one if you want.
Okay, when you're ready, if you come and put your activity on the table up here and then start to think about these questions and come up and kind of put stars on what you think are your favourites. So I'll give you a couple more minutes to finish, but if you have already finished, come and put them up on the table. Okay, should we just, because we've only got about 10 minutes left, let's just open it up for general discussion. The two that have got the most stars on are the teacher leaves a set of postcards. Students introduce themselves by selecting a postcard and say a few words and their interests. After the selection of this card, students know each other a bit better. So it's a nice icebreaker activity. Whose was that? Please put your name on it. And virtual present. And Marion, Bay of Pigs role play. Students assume the roles of of a course. Oh, yes. Oh, okay. Students get a portfolio of information about what you know, negotiate the way through the play to win, use this asynchronous forum supported by occasional chat, can end in nuclear war. That's great. Okay, so just open it up for discussion. General thoughts around the exercise, what activities you liked and didn't like, any ideas for how we could make this work in an online environment? Yeah. I think the mic's by my thing. I'll type up the notes and we can send them around afterwards, so.
Is it on?
Yeah.
We just had a bit of a discussion then over what was good for you. And the thing is that a lot of those activities were really valid, excellent activities, but if you couldn't see yourself using it, you often downgraded it. And I think this is one of those things that came up when we were looking at LAMS community sequences. Should we edit and put things, only good things up there, and can you only be inspired by good things? So if there's an activity that's up there that isn't great, but it might prompt you to do something great. So this whole concept of voting and what is good for you may not be good for someone else, and it's just so arbitrary. And I think that thing of we started editing my students' contributions to LAMS community, but I've stopped it. Because I just don't think I have the right to determine what would serve as inspiration to someone else. Dantilus. Oh, I feel a bit like Martin.
I can't spell arbitrary. Oh, well, never mind. No, I think that's a really good point, yeah, because, and I think it is about, it's interesting with the voting, because what we found in the other exercises, you're drawn towards the one that's already got lots of stars on it. And so the things that are automatically up in the system stay up in the system. But I don't think it necessarily matters if it's arbitrary, in the sense that if it gives you some new ideas, fine. Yeah. Other thoughts?
We were just talking about how you're trying to compare very unlike things, and as with anything, well, you make people put up their cloud books with, you know, certain categories, like this 20 students at AG level, then the minute you start doing that, you're taking away the freedom and making it too constraining.
I must confess, I was really drawn to Spiros's, postcard one, because for me that was just like the perfect neat idea. It was just like, oh yes, I really like that. It had, you know, the emotional involvement of the students. It had something that I could try in many different contexts. It wasn't specific to a discipline area. And to me, that sort of the essence of a nifty idea, a good idea that I would like to take and use somewhere else. Whereas, and I don't mean this in any way to be critical, but there was the hand washing one, and who had hand washing? Just so I'm not. Okay, sorry. Well, so Sarah.
Rubbish, Sarah. Rubbish.
No, it's so unfair to pick this
Funder
one.
Funder puts
but I looked
in
at
rubbish
that, I thought,
activity.
I thought this looks great if I was teaching hand washing, but I'm not, and so it that was the end of it for me. And so there's this very hard problem between ideas which are sort of generic versus ideas which are specific to their case. I mean, we've talked about this all conference long, and we need both of them. But I was really struck just how much of an impact that had on me doing the process of the one where I went, oh yes, nifty idea I could steal as a concept.
Great. Other thoughts, either on the activities or really fantastic ideas about how we can apply the best of Web 2 to this? Martin, you must have some good ideas.
Well, I was disappointed my activity didn't win, of course. But I have a similar activity.
You're not simmering now, are you? I bet it's intriguing, isn't it? Like, more. Really simmering because I didn't win the prize.
In my activity, we have a kind of, we do in my course, we have a shared database that students have to upload a memorable learning experience, and you could imagine doing a similar thing here. You kind of just have a database where you upload your designs, and then they kind of and they get bubbled up by the most number of views or downloads or uses, and that does kind of get your, it's the equivalent of putting stars on them, and you could just rate them. So in some ways I think the online version might work better, because you're quite hampered by just the physical structure here. Like, for instance, a round table would have been better than in a straight line, and things about trying to read people's handwriting and stuff. But at least we know what a handheld cutting device is now. That's cleared up. So I think you can imagine the online version working quite nicely, but there is something about the kind of social interaction that happens.
Do you think we could do an Animoto thing with the designs coming up and back? You know?
If I can just add, because we've had this kind of experience with real LAMS things, is that if you did that as a LAMS sequence, you know, if we actually did that process now, you could set it so that the voting where you have to vote before you see each other's votes, and so it changes that particular problem. And I've had some contexts where people have said, no, I want people to look at the votes before they vote, and others where the designer said, no, it's important that you don't see the votes before you vote. And so this micro-design element can actually matter to the way you want to do things. And so just the physical context of starring on papers meant we did it a certain way. But when we think of an online tool, we can actually start to think, I've got choice here in the way it could work to represent, you know, a particular intent. It's only a little activity, but to me, a classic example of where lean design technology allows us to think about that micro feature and what it means for what we're doing.
Other thoughts? Other ideas for how? Were there any difficulties? The other question was, how many people would imagine contributing things to an online system? Or let's put it another way, is anybody prepared to say why they wouldn't contribute? Sheila.
I think one of the things when I worked in the school sector, when we were trying to get people just to sort of talk about what they were doing, is that they were quite willing to share in a closed environment, but when it was open, there was kind of this, and I always used to think it was just a Scottish reticence, but I don't think it is, but it was like, yeah, I don't mind sharing with you guys, but the big world out there, I'm not so sure about that. So I think you have to be quite careful. I think there are certain people who are quite confident and are quite happy for their designs to be shared and be made public and people to think from, but I think there's a lot of cultural issues around sharing. And also I think because teachers kind of think that other people will be judging them as well. And it's like, well, you know, if I want to put my practice up there, I want it to be in a format that I'm really, really comfortable with. And it's almost like they don't want to be prejudged, or if they do want to be in any kind of, I don't know, any...
So do you think anonymous submission?
It could do, yeah, possibly.
That whole judge thing, then it has to be perfect, so they don't put it up quick and dirty, so that
But I have to say, just in contrast to that, I mean, in the FE community in the UK, there was a very, very active community of practice that was around sharing lesson plans, case studies, learning objects and resources, and that grew out of a staff development training program, so that people around the UK were taken away for 3 days, had a training program around the use of technology, and were then called champions. So they were going back into their institution and cascading the technology. But 8 years later, that community practice is still going. And it's not, the only way it's sustained is through a mailing list. And it's not a facilitated mailing list anymore. But because there is a strength of that community, they ran their own face-to-face conference this year. And it's just, because people know each other, they trust each other, and they share their resources, and they're really proud of actually, you know, being able to share what they've done.
Could you put me in touch with them? Because it would be good to run something around that community. That would be fantastic. Going back to the anonymous issue, I think there are pros and cons, and I think, you know, I'm always struck, I mean, Martin's always saying this, you know, Flickr for learning design, and the whole thing about why has Flickr worked, why has YouTube worked, why has SlideShare worked? And they're all open. And so I think it's kind of changing mindsets maybe. And if you start with the assumption saying it is open, it is shareable. If you want to play, you have to work on that basis. But get the right kind of hooks that make people want to do it. That's going to make the difference, I think. So I put presentations up in SlideShare because it's a useful way of distributing the presentations to other people. And people say, you know, do it. Martin's got a comment on this.
So I think you're right. I don't think there's anything special about learning designs that you want to keep in secret. It's just that sharing and reuse becomes a mindset. And for me, it seems strange now not to share something. So if you're a blogger and you have your Twitter stream that's publicly available and you put stuff up on SlideShare and Flickr, the idea of creating something and not sharing it seems odd now. So it's a general mindset, and I think that's changing, you know, but I don't think there's anything particularly different about learning designs and stuff that we need to worry about. So I think it's just people need to get used to that mindset, and the more they do it, then the more they will.
I wanted to disagree with that. That's really interesting, because if
Fight!
When a teacher shares a learning design, it's like their soul. It's, you know, my ideas about good learning. And so if you look at that and you think, I've been looking at James' sequences in Lamb's community, and for all his work, you know, it's a bit average on the, you know, the educational design. I mean, he's not that sharp. I actually would find that more worrying than, oh, I saw his presentation and I thought he had some bad ideas in his presentation. I could cope with the content criticism, but to think that I wasn't very good at helping students learn, you know, that would worry me even more. So I mean, I agree that the getting into the pattern of being open, that's totally true, with that. But I've had at least enough informal discussions with teachers who had great designs and who didn't put them in the Lamb's community. And underneath that was this fear that if other people looked at it and thought they were actually not much chop at being a teacher, it was that worry.
But did they share other stuff? I mean, were they in the habit of sharing? So I mean, if they're not, then you don't do it. So I think, I know what you mean, it is kind of expose yourself, but then you could argue the same about blogging. It's like you're putting out half-formed ideas, and a lot of people are very uncomfortable with that. But when you get into the habit of doing it, that's just part of it. You're kind of thinking out in the open. And so I think if you take that approach, then you do it. But I think if you found people who shared learning designs, you'd find that they also share other stuff. It's once you make that switch.
I'm kind of a bit more with James on this one, but it's something I touched on yesterday. I think we need two against one. You've had it, mate. I think what we really need to do is develop confident communities. I'm going to take the example that Sarah gave. How do we actually get communities that are confident enough to do that? Because I think it's completely different putting up a set of, you know, photos into Flickr. And it's like James saying, there's no real risk in doing that, but there is a risk in putting up your learning design. And until we get people confident enough that the way that people are going to use that and share that or annotate it or whatever, that is not a risk to them personally or professionally, then, you know, I think that's a key thing, and that's what we need to do in terms of getting people to share things and getting people to tag things. I mean, we had huge problems getting people to tag things in the Design for Learning programme, and all we asked them to do was put it on Delicious, you can add a tag. And I think possibly that was our, you know, in terms of workflow, we got things a bit wrong there as well, but people were too busy doing other things, so they didn't really need to do it. So, you know, I think we have to find ways of engaging the community to make them do that, to make it easier and seem a natural thing, like Martin was saying, you know, that it's really natural for me to do that, but we're not at that stage yet.
I totally agree, and I think that's really important. I mean, how many of you sat there when I said, write it on a piece of paper, and thought, oh, I can't think of anything? You know, it's a kind of scary moment, isn't it? So I think there is a kind of barrier that's different. So, Martin, I'm totally against you as well. We're going to gang up on you. No, I'm joking. Marion.
But also, I think we're losing sight of all these things like Flickr and YouTube. There's some stat, isn't it, that 90% of people don't add stuff, they just view it. We don't have, I mean, you know, like, lurkers and forums, not everybody has to share, and if just we get a few of those, you know, extroverts out there, or these, you know, overly open, you know, exactly the right amount of enough people share a bit, it's going to make it easier for more people, and we don't have to get everybody sharing every design, we just need enough for a critical mass.
Just get your little thing out again now, because I've changed my mind. I think anonymous is wrong. I think that we need a pseudonym. Because
we need
a pseudonym, the ability to not put yourself, not even to the point of avatar, but you need to, like, if you like somebody's learning designs, you want to follow them through, you need to also be able to search for them as a person, an author. But I think anonymous is too easy, but you do need to tag and own, there's got to be an ownership. But the judgment issue is huge. If you have ever shared learning designs with people in a group, the first thing people do is judge it. And they say, oh, I'd never do that. That's crap.
As the person on the LAMS community who has the lowest ratings for their designs, I am conscious of this. You know, the problem is I put up a whole bunch of designs I just did in conferences as a kind of, if you came to the conference and you wanted to look at the design that I built in 5 minutes on the stage, here it is. And then people went, oh, that's only 2 stars. And so it's that problem of intent. It was like, no, I didn't mean this as my best work, you know. I just wanted it to be a result. So people went, right, let me... So there is a challenge there. I mean, I'm now struck because I actually think both are true. I'm sure that Martin's right that if you're in the habit of being open and just sharing, once you're there, then this becomes easier and you do it. I also suspect we're right that learning designs tap something a bit deeper in the teacher psyche than other things we might share, and there is still trying to think that through. The answer comment about pseudonyms was that I was thinking, oh, okay, well, we could have a feature in the LAMS community. When you share a design, you could click, I want this to be anonymous. But you would still know, you know, you, the individual, would still see how many people downloaded your design. So you would know it was yours, but the community would see it as anonymous. So I was thinking, okay, that's a great feature. We could consider doing that. But then it's like, oh, but... if you want to... I mean, I will. But if you wanted to track someone's work... even though they're not, so that's where the pseudonym comes in. It's like if someone's got 5 pseudonymous things, you want to know it's all the same pseudonymous person because you want to see the different things they've done. So,
So that could work quite well. I mean, just let me show you one of the features we've got in this, because I do think it's quite, it is motivating in here when you go in and you're going to click on your name and, you know, you upload something new and you immediately see it in your list. And there's something kind of really quite powerful about that, but also it means you can look and you can see what other people have put in. So I do think that's a kind of valuable a feature to add in, to be able to, well, see for example, Martin's. You can see, you know, actually very quickly, even with the titles, you get to see the kind of, straight away, some of the kind of areas of interest and Martin's speciality in terms of the way he teaches and stuff. So, you know, I think that is valuable. I'll finish.
I didn't actually want to catch. I want to show you the equivalent in the lambs community, quickly for those who haven't seen it. Sorry, I'll just do it very... Because we took an extra piece on top of that, which we learnt from the ePrints community, which is that people want to see statistics on how their stuff is being used. So just give me 2 seconds, see if I can do this. And this way I can prove to you about my lousy ratings. Where's the at symbol? No, how do I do? Shift on?
Him, Andrew, this one.
Oh, got it.
Although okay. I agree with Martin's points about there being a mindset necessary for sharing, I think the actual example of Flickr and YouTube are particularly bad examples to use, because one of the reasons that those have been taken up is because existing technologies did not support the exchange of massive files. So if you went away on holiday and took 30 photographs, you couldn't email those around, right? Because it would just bomb everybody's mailboxes. So you had to use a website to share them. And so it wasn't...
Sorry, just very quickly, just because I think there is a bit of... I mean, this is the equivalent of the number of people who've clicked on your blog. When you see, I've had 400 people look at this post, you know, this is the Lambs equivalent. I can see the number of downloads of my sequences. And that I find that a plus, you know, to think, oh, all these people could be bothered to look at this thing is one of the motivators that makes me think I'll put up other ones in the future. And that's what the e-learning e-prints, when people share their open access articles, one of the rewards to them is seeing that others have benefited from that by tracking the downloads.
Okay, I think we should probably finish because people are probably starving. Are people happy for us to type these up and put them into CloudWorks and with your name attached to it? If anybody's not happy, let us know. We'll assume it's okay, but we'll put them up. And if you haven't put your name on it, please, please do so before you finish. And I'll send round the notes from this to the list. Okay?